Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 6th. Blaze at Outpatient Center Contained by Firefighters. The story was written by B.K. Richter. The Midland Fire Department responded to a fire at the F. Marie Hall Outpatient Center late Tuesday evening. Fire officials said the blaze began on the second floor at about 7:32 p.m. and then extended into the walls of the former Midland Memorial West campus. According to a city spokesperson, firefighters kept the blaze contained to the area of origin. No injuries were reported. Midland Memorial Hospital said in a press statement that as part of the center's roofing project, a new heat-applied roofing system was being installed across the entire building. Quote, "During the installation on June 4th, some adjacent construction materials were accidentally overheated and subsequently covered with new roofing," an email to the Reporter-Telegram read. "This overheating caused the materials to smolder, producing enough smoke to enter limited areas of the building. Once the smoke was detected, the contractor promptly began removing the smoldering materials to contain the issue," end quote. The contractor of the project also contacted the Midland Fire Department to ensure there were adequate resources to manage the smoke and fire. The fire department assisted in removing all smoldering materials, eliminating the source of the smoke. MMH said the area of the blaze didn't sustain significant damage, although a few areas within the vicinity have a lingering smell of smoke. MMH said a few departments were closed Wednesday: accounting and payroll division, the Wound Management Center, and Sleep Lab were expected to reopen Thursday. The Materials Management and Centralized Scheduling were closed, but MMH made alternate accommodations and will remain operational. Venture Robotics, Using Tech for Good in Community. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Venture Robotics discussed its growth and community focus at the June Founders Blend event on Wednesday. The STEM-focused education company aims to make the fields of robotics and engineering relational by introducing Midlanders to the world of STEM through play and experimentation. Additionally, it offers drone programs, hosts birthdays and other special occasions, contract teaching, consulting, adult classes, 3D print services, and field trips. The husband and wife team of Ginger and Dan Shantz are making this unique opportunity in Midland possible. Dan Shantz was born and raised in Midland and was introduced to robotics during his time at Midland High School. There, he was team captain of the robotics team. He graduated from Sul-Ross State University with a degree in industrial technology. Ginger Shantz says she has a desire to see connections in learning and says she enjoys fostering business engagement in the community and seeing young people grasp new concepts. Originally from Andrews, she is a graduate of Texas Tech and New Mexico State. Venture Robotics is one of many small businesses conceptualized during the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, "We actually started out with 5 robot sets that we got in an auction," Ginger Shantz recalled. They decided to start a side hustle by running robotics summer camps for kids in local school gyms. Quote, The kids responded well, parents responded well, and we got more questions of, hey, what are you going to do teaching? What are you going to teach next? And just more and more questions, Ginger Shantz said. They continued to put on camps and grow their idea until they expanded to their first location. Their current location is 4410 North Midkiff Road. The program they've seen with the most consistent growth is their afternoon innovators classes and after-school program. Quote, a lot of students do get some exposure to robotics in public schools, but a lot don't. Honestly, more don't than do, Ginger Shantz said. The pair is also passionate about providing homeschool children the opportunity to work with technology and join the community. The Shantzes said they want to serve as an influential force in the community, sharing the ways young people can use technology in positive ways. Ginger Shantz said June is a busy month for Venture Robotics that includes activities at Midland College Kids College, STEM camps with local companies, plus camps at their own facility. Founders Blend is a monthly meeting designed to be an inclusive place for startup founders, business owners, investors, entrepreneurs, and those interested in supporting local businesses in Midland to connect and support each other with the wisdom gained through similar experiences. A swell scholar. Love for surfing in the Pacific drew James Olson to teaching. He's now making waves at UTPB, celebrating 50 years as a psychology professor. The story was written by Kesley Salinas. If you had asked James Olson, a founding faculty member at the University of Texas Permian Basin, how he envisioned his life when he was a teenager, he would have told you that you could find him surfing in the Pacific Ocean after teaching high school history classes. Now, he's celebrating 50 years at UTPB as a psychology professor. Olson grew up in Santa Barbara, California, where he graduated from high school and attended Santa Barbara City College with a plan to become a high school history teacher. Quote, I wanted to surf and be in the Pacific Ocean as much as I could, Olson said. I figured the best way to do that was to become a high school teacher. I thought I'd be a really cool guy and teach high school and surf, end quote. Olson was drawn to teaching high school because he knew he'd have plenty of vacation time where he'd be able to surf. After taking an introductory psychology course, Olson became interested in the subject. Quote, a professor named Mr. Cox turned me on to the field of psychology, Olson said. I found that I was getting good at this psychology stuff and that I really liked it, end quote. Olson transferred to the University of California, Santa Barbara, where he received his bachelor's degree in psychology. At UC Santa Barbara, Olson had some mentors that steered him to go to graduate school and pursue his doctorate. In 1969, Olson was accepted into the University of California, Los Angeles, where he earned his master's and doctorate in psychology. In 1973, Olson applied to the position at the UTPB and became one of the founding faculty members of the university. Olson said he liked psychology because it was broader than just mental health. He enjoyed learning about what makes people tick and how an environment impacts a person. One of Olson's research projects throughout his career was to interview residential burglars to see how they pick their targets and how they can make homes safer. Olson interviewed about 30 burglars over a 2-year period and wrote a couple of books about what he learned. His research was featured in Time magazine and U.S. News and World Report, and he was asked to appear on the Today Show in New York City. In 1990, he received the President's Award for Excellence in Research at UTPB. At UTPB, Olson has been a chairman of the psychology, sociology, and criminology departments. He became the first dean of the College of Arts and Sciences in 1994. After 10 years, he transitioned out of the role, but he has intermittently been a chairman throughout the years. Olson has won several teaching awards, including being named Piper Professor in 2011 and the Regents Outstanding Teacher Award through the University of Texas System in 2012. Quote, "Teaching means helping students succeed," Olson said. "That's what it's all about, helping students succeed. I enjoy that," end quote. Olson said that UTPB has gotten bigger throughout the years. When he started working as a professor, the university was a junior, senior, and graduate college. He also has seen UTPB athletics grow. His favorite things about UTPB are his students and his colleagues. Olson prefers for his students and colleagues to call him just Jim. Olson also said he likes the Mesa building his office and classroom are in, and that if there was ever a disaster, that's where he'd want to be because he's been there during major storms, and it's so sturdy that the windows don't even rattle. Although Olson received a couple of teaching offers in California, he grew to like the Permian Basin and wanted to stay here. Looking back at his 50 years at UTPB, Olson said he doesn't think he would change anything. "It's been a great place," Olson said. "The neatest thing about this place has been its growth and its service to the residents of the Permian Basin in particular, but throughout the state, too," end quote. Olson doesn't plan to retire anytime soon. He said that even though he loves reading, walking, and hanging out, that's not enough to keep him busy throughout the day. Even though he surfed 2 years ago, he'd have to drive over 10 hours to be able to do that again. Quote, "Why would I retire?" Olson asked. Quote, "I like what I'm doing," Mark Twain said. "If you love your job, you never have to work." "The students seem to like me okay. My colleagues seem to like me okay. I have no plans to retire, but we'll see," end quote. Annual Mex Tech's Family Fiesta returns to Midland on Saturday. The story was written by Kesley Salinas. The Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce will host its 37th annual Mex Tech's Family Fiesta on Saturday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena from noon until midnight. Festivities include a cornhole tournament, the inaugural Niña Hispana of the Permian Basin pageant, a ballet folklorico performance, a menudo and fajita cook-off, and live music. The Mex Tech's Family Fiesta is the MHCC's biggest fundraiser of the year. The Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is still looking for volunteers in several roles, including the children's activities, entrance tickets, VIP section assistance, bar backs, cornhole tournament management, pageant support. Quote, "We've had a few people sign up, but we need more," said Savannah Morales, CEO of the MHCC. "We're lacking volunteers, but we have had a lot of support in the community." A kids' zone will be available for children from noon to 6 p.m. This year, Midland Hispanic Chamber partnered with Share to create a sensory-friendly play area within the kids' zone from noon until 3 p.m. Morales said the MHCC wanted to make sure that children who are sensitive to loud noises and music had a place where they could relax and unwind, so they introduced the sensory area this year. The fiesta will also feature cooling zones and areas to sit down throughout the day and places where they can eat. The fajita and menudo cook-off features 12 different cooks. The community can taste the menudo and fajita entries from 2 to 4 p.m. and vote on their favorite for the People's Choice Awards. There will be 11 food trucks and 48 vendors to choose from. Morales said she's excited for the community to try the variety of food that is available at the fiesta, such as Hawaiian, barbecue, Mexican, hamburgers, and more. Activities from noon to 4:30 p.m. will be free. Live concerts will start at 4:30 p.m. and will end at midnight. Concert tickets cost $20 online and $25 at the door. Quote, "We wanted the community to come out and enjoy the activities," Morales said. "Then they can come back and purchase tickets for the concert," end quote. The musical lineup includes Grupo Presión, Art Tijerina Band, Ruben Ramos and the Mexican Revolution, and A.J. Castillo. The schedule for the fiesta is as follows. Indoor entertainment. Niña Hispana Pageant, 12 to 2:30 p.m. Sensory Hour, 12 to 3 p.m. Kids Zone, 12 to 6 p.m. Hip-Hop and Letos, 3 to 3:30 p.m. Yoleo Mariachi, Folklore y Tradición, 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. Outdoor entertainment. Cook-off public tasting, 2 to 4 p.m. Grupo Presión, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Art Tijerina, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Ruben Ramos and the Mexican Revolution, 8:30 to 10 p.m. A.J. Castillo, 10:30 p.m. to 12 midnight. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, June 6th. Landon Cade Coffey, born in Longview, Texas on January 20, 2022, to Brandon Coffey and Heather Lewis, has left a profound impact on all who had the privilege of knowing him. Landon's vibrant personality and the way he loved with all his heart illuminated every room he entered. His untimely passing on May 28, 2024, in Pittsburgh, Texas, has left a void in the hearts of his loved ones. He is survived by many family members, parents Brandon Michael Coffey and Heather Lee Lewis, brothers Trace Michael Coffey, Kason Cade Coffey, and Lamar Lane Hine, sister Zoe Lynn Hine, co-parents Kayla and Ryan Thornburg, paternal grandparents Mama and Papa Hill, maternal grandparents Oma and Papa Motley, maternal grandparents Brandon and Emily Lewis, paternal great-grandparents Mima and Papa Lewis, maternal great-grandparents Granny and Papa Minard. He was preceded in death by his uncle Clyde, great-grandparents Granny Debbie and Papa Twain, Papa Melvin and Nana, Granny Mo, great-great-grandparents Sonny and Betty Lewis. Services to celebrate the life of Landon will be held at Crawley Funeral Home in Gilmer starting at 2 p.m. with Brother Lancey Pearson officiating. Bridget Edith Jefferson passed away on May 24th at the age of 63. She was born January 2nd, 1961 in Sweetwater, Texas to Ulysses Bill Brazil and Billy Sue Nelson Jefferson. Soon after, she was adopted by Clinton Fatty Jefferson. Bridget had a zest for life that was contagious, and she will be missed by all who had the pleasure of knowing her. Upon moving to Midland, she attended Washington Elementary, Pease Elementary, and Midland Lee. She received her GED in Tulsa, Oklahoma, from Job Corps. Bridget is now reunited in heaven with her parents, Billy and Clinton Jefferson, Father Ulysses Brazil, brother Barry Jefferson, grandparents Freddie and Rosetta Nelson. She is survived by daughters Chevet Glover of Odessa, Renee McClendon of Odessa, her son T.J. Glover of Midlothian, as well as seven grandchildren. Her favorite aunt, Mother Barbara Pertile, siblings Melanie O'Neill of Palm Beach, Florida, Ronald Carlton, Anthony, Frederick, Melissa, and Corey Pertile of Midland, her very best friends Barbara Parker, Carla Brady, Joanne Tryon, Valerie Harmon, and Charlotte Jackson, and the entire MHS-LHS class of 79. Alicia Gonzalez, known as Chachi, passed away peacefully on Friday, May 31st in Midland, surrounded by her loved ones. Chachi was a remarkable woman who touched the lives of many with her warmth and kindness. Alicia, born on October 5th, 1960, was a beloved wife to her high school sweetheart, Henry Gonzalez Sr., for 46 years. Together, they enjoyed cruising and hosting family functions and gatherings. Alicia was a devoted mother to Tina Gonzalez, Margaret Gonzalez, Henry Gonzalez Leyva, and Christopher Gonzalez, a cherished mother-in-law to Justin Gonzalez Leyva. She was also a loving grandmother to several grandchildren. Alicia is survived by her husband, four children, a son-in-law, and five grandchildren, as well as six siblings, Yolanda Sanchez of Bakersfield, California, Sheila Madrid, Oscar Sandate, Maria Madrid, Antonio Sandate, Terry Martinez, all of Midland. She was preceded in death by her parents, Antonio and Andrea Sandate, mother and father-in-law, Cipriano and Margarita Gonzalez, brothers-in-law, Adam, Joe, and Tony Gonzalez, as well as several cousins. Melvin Dale Renfro, age 76 of Midland, passed away June 4th. There is no service planned. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, June 6th. One-sided relationship seems fine to boyfriend. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I have been together for 8 years. We live separately, and I live with my son. The problem is my boyfriend says he loves me, but doesn't seem to like spending time with me. He would rather mow my lawn than spend that same amount of time just hanging out with me. We used to see each other several times a week, always a few times on the weekend, and sometimes a weeknight as well. But the time he wants to share has been dwindling more and more. Right now, his work schedule gives him 4 days off in a row. What hurts my feelings is that he tells me about all the projects he wants to do without me. He even tells me about trying to find things to do with his time. I have told him I miss him and I'd like to do things with him, but most of the time he declines. If I try to explain how I feel about this, he exaggerates and says that if I had my way, I'd have all of his free time. Before COVID, we would get together one night a week for beers and a sleepover. Now, he will come over for an hour or two for drinks, maybe twice a week in the evening, but not for a long visit. Not much else. I have asked him repeatedly to go for a walk with me. I feel lonely and undesired. I think I should end the relationship, but I am afraid I will never find someone else and that what little I have is better than being completely alone. I don't know how to have a real conversation with him without him getting angry with me. Please help me figure this out. Signed, Lonely in Washington. Dear Lonely, has it occurred to you that being so dependent on him may be what has caused him to distance from you? My first suggestion is to find a friend to walk with you. You say your dates consisted of him coming over, drinking, and going to bed with you. Forgive me for seeming unromantic, but that sounds less like a date than a booty call. Stop begging him to see you. You feel unappreciated because you are. Let things ride for now, but quit telling him how needy you are. Get online and start meeting people. Other, more rewarding relationships are possible, but not if you stay stuck in the rut you're in. The two of you want different things from this relationship. Dear Abby, I'm divorced. My ex-husband has a girlfriend and has just gotten engaged. We have two sons, 23 and 20, and they are going to their father's wedding in 4 months. I'm kind of annoyed that they are going, and I'm not sure what an impact this will have on my life as the ex, or how my boys will feel. Advice? Signed, New Era in New Jersey. Dear New Era, if it isn't too late, refrain from conveying to your sons your annoyance that they will attend their father's wedding. They belong there. Give them the chance to get to know the woman without trying to influence them either way. Remember, above all, that you are a person in your own right rather than just an ex. You are also still your son's mom. You have the opportunity for a happy, successful future if you don't allow bitterness to get in the way. I hope you will give yourself that gift. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the Permian Proud for Thursday, June 6th, 2024. Tracy Lawrence to perform at Momentum Bank Ballpark. By staff. This article is from Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. The Midland Rockhounds will host Tracy Lawrence live in concert on Saturday, September 28th at Momentum Bank Ballpark. Country music artist Chris Cagle will also perform at the show on a stage set up in center field of the ballpark, with on-field VIP tables available. Tickets go on sale Friday, June 7th at 10 a.m. Lawrence has sold 13 million albums and has 18 number one singles over 30 years, including Sticks and Stones, Alibis, Can't Break It to My Heart, My Second Home, If the Good Die Young, Texas Tornado, Time Marches On, and Find Out Who Your Friends Are. He still releases music, tours, and is involved in numerous charity projects. He also hosts the popular radio show Honky Tonking with Tracy Lawrence. This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the Midland Times for Thursday, June 6th, 2024. Fire at F. Murray Hall Outpatient Center prompts operational adjustments for MMH departments. By Delisa Brown. The Midland Fire Department, MFD, responded to a fire at the F. Murray Hall Outpatient Center, located at 4214 Andrews Highway, at approximately 7:32 p.m. on May 4th. The fire, which began on the second floor balcony, extended into the walls of the former Midland Memorial West campus. According to a press release where the announcement was made, MFD officials reported that firefighters contained the fire to its area of origin, preventing further spread and damage. No injuries were reported during the incident. An investigation is currently underway to determine the cause of the fire. According to an update provided by MMH Director of Planning, Marketing, and Communications, Tassa Richardson, the fire incident occurred during the installation of a new heat-applied roofing system across the building. Richardson explained that during the installation on June 4th, some adjacent construction materials were accidentally overheated and subsequently covered with new roofing. This overheating caused the materials to smolder, producing enough smoke to enter limited areas of the building. Once the smoke was detected, the contractor promptly began removing the smoldering materials to contain the issue. They also contacted the fire department to ensure there were adequate resources to manage the situation. The fire department assisted in removing all smoldering materials, eliminating the source of the smoke. According to Richardson, the response from both the contractors and the fire department ensured that the situation was brought under control, resulting in no significant damage. However, a few areas of the building have a lingering smell of smoke. As a result of the fire, departments at MMH have adjusted their operations. Accounting/payroll closed today but will reopen June 6th. Sleep lab closed tonight and will reopen tomorrow night. Wound Management Center closed today with plans to reopen June 6th. Materials Management and Centralized Scheduling closed at the F. Murray Hall outpatient location but have made alternate accommodations to remain operational. The Midland Fire Department and the MMH team will continue to monitor the situation and ensure all safety protocols are followed as repairs and investigations proceed.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.